Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So as regular listeners to the programme will know, over the course of the last month, we have had some very valuable discussions about puberty with Dr. Caoimhe Hartley from the Menopause Clinic in Dublin, a GP as well. We've discussed puberty in girls and taken your questions on that topic. Last week, we discussed boys' puberty. So today, Dr. Hartley is going to join us once again to take your questions in relation to puberty in boys. Good morning, Caoimhe. Lovely to have you back again. Can I just ask you a sort of a general approach question to having this conversation with boys before we get into specific listener questions? You can't talk about erections and arousal and wet dreams and so on without then going on to have a conversation about masturbation as well, and then going on from that to have the inevitable conversation about porn. This is an awful lot to lay on a young lad over the course of two or three or four chats. What's your advice on the general approach that you should take to this?
Good morning, and it's great to talk to you. And you're coming out strong with the difficult questions early. That's good. But it's difficult. I don't think there is an easy answer to this. You're absolutely right. I think it's hard on the parents too. You know, I don't think any of us grow up knowing naturally how to navigate these conversations. It's tough. So I think being aware of the fact that it's hard to get right and impossible to be perfect about this, you're not going to have all the answers. But start with, I suppose, an attitude that, look, I want to create space for my teenage son or daughter to feel comfortable to have a discussion. So you're kind of normalising that, okay, these are things that are maybe private and they're sometimes embarrassing, but they're also normal and they happen to everybody, and normalise the conversation at home a little bit and take maybe opportunities as they present to have a discussion. So it's not about sort of unnaturally creating a conversation or forcing a conversation when you're not ready or they're not ready, but maybe to take those opportunities early and be aware to create that space. Try to be knowledgeable. So if you can, arm yourself with some information that will give you a bit more confidence about to have a conversation about something. And even things, I suppose, like from an early age, talking about, not necessarily talking about masturbation and erections and these things that I agree might be a lot to put on a younger boy or girl, but to talk about how bodies change in general. Like if you know, talk about pregnancy and how bodies change in pregnancy or aging, and we change as we get older, and that's actually, it's a great, like it's an amazing thing. Biology is amazing and bodies are amazing, and to kind of see it as a very positive thing if possible.
Okay, let's get straight into some of the questions then. Joanne says that her son is almost 13. He's very concerned about his height. He has always been the smallest in his class, and now while his peers have suddenly started to shoot up around him, he is really starting to notice it and get quite upset about it. He has grown, but not in a huge burst like some of his friends have. Both his mother and father are reasonably tall. She's told him that boys keep growing into their teens, so she wants to know, at what age do teenage boys really have a growth spurt at, and when should she be concerned if he's not growing like his friends?
Yeah, so she, I mean, this boy in this particular question is only 13, so he's still really young and has lots of time. And boys would have a growth spurt on average about 2 years later than we see that growth spurt happening in girls. They usually hit their peak height somewhere in the age of 16, 17, but it really depends on genetics and nutrition and their health and lots of other factors. So they do tend to continue to increase their what's called lean body mass. They sort of bulk up as they go through their teens and 20s. I don't think I would be concerned at this point unless there was no changes at all associated with puberty. So he wasn't having any change in his voice or hair growth, any sign of puberty at all by the time he's 14 or 15. Or if he hadn't, you know, progressed. So you see, if he's had sort of testicular enlargement but nothing else happened after about 2 years, that might prompt me to maybe get in touch with the GP and have a conversation then at that point.
Next question. My son is nearly 12 and started puberty last summer as he turned 11. He has Down syndrome, and it's been a shock to realise that while so many aspects of development are delayed, puberty can often commence early. I've no other boys and I parent alone, so I'd welcome advice on what to expect and how to prepare him, how to explain it to him. He has good speech and comprehension, but that doesn't translate into picking up the concepts here that easily. Are there suitable books, videos, resources, other targeted supports for children with intellectual disabilities commencing puberty?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, I think it's great. I really commend this listener for trying to be proactive and and to talk about things early and prepare her son. That's what we should all be aiming for. And she obviously knows her children best. And I think, or her child best, I think, you know, to kind of know that you know your kid best and you know what their level is and what they're going to understand. There are some really good resources out there. So there's Down Syndrome Ireland, who are a fantastic resource. There's an American lady who specializes in creating programs and resources for people who have intellectual disabilities. And in particular, she focuses on sexual education for younger people, and her name is, I hope I'm not butchering her name, but it's Terry Cowenhoven. So her surname is Cowenhoven, so terrycowenhoven.com. So she's a really great resource, and she's lots of books.
That's Terry, T-E-R-R-I.
Yeah. So terrycowenhoven.com, you could Google her, I'm sure, and she's a great place to start in terms of resources, or Down Syndrome Ireland. Okay.
Next question. My 10-year-old son has always been quick-tempered and quite aggressive. He is also very funny, kind and loving. But when he gets into a temper, he finds it difficult to control himself. I'm worried about the onset of puberty and all those hormones flying around in his body. Could he already be going through puberty? And what are the first signs that I should be looking out for?
Yeah, so he definitely could be going through puberty. I mean, it starts at any time, on average, from about the age of 9 in boys, give or take. But, and this is so common, isn't it? This kind of, like, there's all these positives and he has this wonderful personality, but then at the other times, a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, and he can maybe lose his temper or be difficult at times as well. And that's very typical of I mean, all of us, I suppose, but particularly going through adolescence. And a lot of that is happening, really, because we kind of chatted a bit last week about the amygdala and different parts of our brain and how, you know, the prefrontal cortex, one part of your brain, well, that's involved in impulse control, and that actually matures a little bit later than the rest of your brain. So all of these things happen at different rates in your brain. And it kind of explains how processing and reacting to certain situations as we go through puberty, it's really complicated and it's sometimes lopsided or uneven, and we can have inappropriate reactions to things or lose our temper a bit easier than usual. So I think, you know, being understanding of that and being patient is really, really important.
Moving on to a question about facial hair. My son is 15 and he has yet to actually develop any. He has a bit of wispy growth on his top lip, but some of his friends are almost sporting full beards. He does seem to be a bit behind amongst his friends group, so I'm wondering if this is unusual. What age does facial hair generally appear on boys?
Yeah, like everything else, you know, really individual, and it generally happens in stages. So they might see hair on the outer corner of the lips first, and then that sort of joins up to almost kind of a wispy, kind of thin moustache across the way, and then that's followed by thicker growth. And it's usually kind of later in puberty that we would see this happen, around the same time as maybe his voice breaking, so a little bit later in the process. And genetics can play a part as well, like your ethnicity or what your you know, what your genetics would be for hair growth contributes to that. So it's really individual, but often later in puberty. Yeah.
And I know no 15-year-old boy is going to listen to this, but it really is the greatest pain in the backside having to shave every day, lad. So be careful what you wish for when you look at your friends enviously. A Wexford mother writes in saying, I have a 12-year-old and I'm certain he's going through puberty. He took a very personal picture on an old phone that we had and he sent it to friends. Obviously, we were utterly shocked. I have spoken to him previously about changes that he is going to experience. I've also provided a book which shows boys and girls going through puberty. How else can I support him? He's even getting facial hair around his mouth. His dad says he should shave it, but still feels that he's a bit young to start shaving, etc.
Okay, well, I mean, looking at the first part of that question about sending a picture, I feel, you know, like times are changing and younger kids are getting access to the internet, and there's this kind of increasing potential for younger teenagers to become aware of things like pornography and all that goes with us. So, I mean, it's different, I suppose, to the landscape that would have been around when I was in my teens. So it can be really hard as a parent to know how to navigate that when it's not something that you grew up with yourself. I think it's great that this mother from Wexford is talking about opening a conversation and discussing it with her son, which is obviously going to be really challenging and difficult. But some kind of important points, I think, just to approach this in a really non confrontational, not to kind of go in guns blazing with a you're in trouble approach, because maybe he doesn't realize the impact, you know, or the consequences of sending a picture like that. So maybe asking why he took it, why did he send it, you know, does he have other
questions?
Because
there can be a lot of different reasons for this, I suppose. I mean, one of them being child not necessarily being particularly comfortable about asking mum, are my testicles getting bigger? Is this normal? And sending a picture to friends. I'm not saying that that's what happened in this case, but, you know, there could be, he could be turning to his peer group for explanations that he's not comfortable asking his parents for.
Absolutely. I mean, what 13-year-old or 12-year-old in this case does want to go to their mother and say, you know, can you have a look at my testicles, or I'm worried about this, or I'm... So there's obviously loads of reasons that I agree that he might have taken a picture, and to assume that it was even of a kind of sexual nature might be unfair. So I think open with that and say, look, can you tell me why you did this, and how would you feel if someone sent you a picture like that? And to kind of, you know, if you have a comfortable discussion like that, then at least, you know, if he does receive any images, you want him to come to you if that happens. You can look at things like child protection settings and, or, you know, talk about kind of, you know, your access to his phone and all that kind of thing. And it's really about walking a tightrope between him having some independence and privacy, which, you know, kids need as they get older, and they need to know that you have trust in them as well. But also kind of being able to monitor, you know, what he's sending and who's and what he's receiving and what he's talking to other people about on his phone as well.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a few more here. Emma says that her 13-year-old son is really very self-conscious about his acne. It's become quite severe over the past year in his face and back, and it's really starting to impact his self-esteem. Emma had acne as a teenager but was able to cover it up with makeup, which obviously isn't an option for him. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. What should she do to help him?
Yeah, so if acne, I mean, how bad or severe acne is really depends on how much impact it's having on somebody's quality of life. So if he's conscious of it and it's bothering him, it's worth a trip to the GP. We often start with the simple over-the-counter measures, and we talk about skin hygiene, and then we can progress from there. There's really effective treatments, anything ranging from topical, like creams and lotions that we can use, and even things on prescription like antibiotics and other things. So there's loads of really, really good options.
And is there any harm in young lads using a concealer stick for the one, you know, on the end of their nose that is really bothering them and making them feel self-conscious?
Not at all. I do it. So, no, of course not. If it's going to give them a bit more confidence, then why not? You know, I think you have to manage it whatever way they're comfortable with managing it. Just knowing that there's options out there, that no one has to suffer with very severe acne when we've tons of really good options. So, yep, down to the GP, have a chat, you know, and have a chat about kind of what best way to approach it.
Final question, which is, I suppose, one that an awful lot of teenage boys are asking themselves. The parent wants to know about protein that her teenage son is taking to bulk up. Does this impact natural development? Is it safe for teenagers under 18 to take protein supplements like that?
The data looking at protein supplements for younger boys in particular is lacking. And so I would be very wary of recommending or standing over a recommendation for anyone to take protein supplements. I'd focus on diet, make sure they're getting a really well-rounded diet, and you know, talk about exercise and exercise routine for if they do want to kind of bulk up. But I wouldn't be recommending protein just in case. I think we need a bit more research and a bit more data to prove that it's safe.
Caoimhe, thank you so much for the last four sessions. They have been really, really informative. I'm kind of embarrassed to say how much I learned that I probably should have known already. And thank you as well to listeners for so many of your questions, which helped shape this discussion. If you want to know more about this, you can listen back to these podcasts via our website. And the HSE has also been in contact with us following on from the series to say that they have booklets that are able, that you can order them from healthpromotion.ie when the website is back up and running normally following the cyber attacks. But in the meantime, you can get these resources, you can download them from the website sexualwellbeing.ie, and you'll find all of that information in the For Parents section of that site. Caoimhe Hartley, thank you very much for joining us.